Well, the message that I've been had on my heart for a little while, and after I told Vlad I would speak sometime, and then I wrestled with what I was going to talk about. And it's about prayer, and it's about praying. And perhaps we'll talk about praying specifically for my children, your children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, and so forth. And so, if you're Nick here, or you're Junior, don't have any children, that's okay because you can pray some of these things for yourself. And you can pray them for others on your prayer list. So, it was sometimes hard to prepare as well because as I would get studying, I would see some cool things that, well, I need to apply them to my own life. And so I'd get sidetracked. So that's where we're at this morning. A couple of weeks ago, Ted spoke, and I don't know if Ted said these things, but I have them written down from that week, so perhaps he did. He said, prayer is asking for things. Prayer is communicating with our Father in heaven, simply trusting the one you come to in prayer. Those are some pretty good things. I wrote them down. Thanks, Ted. Last week when Vlad was finishing up in 2 Timothy, I was listening and I was making some notes, and I thought to myself, wow, that's a pretty good lead-in for what you're considering speaking on next week. That was 1 Timothy. And so that's where I want to take and just kind of launch from the end of 1 Timothy. This morning, and perhaps I'll repeat some of the things he said, but that's okay. The 20th verse, he tells Timothy to guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid irrelevant and empty chatter. Stay alert to false teaching. Now, if you remember Vlad last week, he then dug through his wallet, emptied it on the podium up here, to find this card that he carried that had his general orders on it from when he was in the army. So I went home and I go, So I talked to my friend Google, and I asked Google if he could tell me about the general orders from the Navy. And so we had some of those things. And so I looked at them and I thought, wow, that's not too bad. I never had them on a card in my pocket. Mark said he had 10 of them in the Marine Corps, and I don't know what the Navy had to outdo the Marine Corps, but there was 11 of them. But I looked at them and I thought, wow, some good ideas here, and I'm not going to read them all. I'll just talk about two of them. It says, to receive, obey, and pass on to the sentry who relieves me all orders from the commanding officer, command duty officer, officer of the deck, officers, and petty officers of the watch only. You've got to have been in the Navy to know, to remember what some of all those terms talk about. And the 11th one is to be especially watchful at night and during the time for challenging, to challenge all persons on or near my post, and to allow no one to pass without proper authority. And I thought, okay, how does that kind of apply to what I'm talking about, what I'm thinking about? Receive, obey, and pass on to the sentry who relieves me. So I thought, well, who's the sentry that's going to relieve me in this life that I'm living since I got out of the Navy? And so I still have... Well, what about my children? Are those the people that are going to have to pass on to? Is that the sentry that's going to relieve me? My child, my children, my grandchildren? Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, if I can get there. There it is. And he says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Teach them diligently to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Teach them diligently to your children. Live them before your children. Let your children see what they mean to you. The 29th verse of the 29th chapter in Deuteronomy says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So we have a spiritual, obligation, a scriptural obligation to do exactly that, to pass on to the people that are going to relieve us in this Christian life. And that's passed on to our children. We have that obligation. Then it said the other one was be especially watchful at night. Okay, what's important about that? Men love darkness rather than light, Scripture tells us. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And so that's kind of the, that's when they like to slink around and do the things that they want to do. Now Satan, what's Satan doing? Satan in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter says that Satan's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And if you remember the conversation that God had with Satan in the book of Job, he says, "What are you doing there, Satan?" And Job says, "Well, I'm just going to and fro on the earth. I'm just going to and fro." And you put 1 Peter with it. He's looking for Christians to devour. Somebody said it, and I wrote it down, but I didn't bring that piece of paper with me, but that Satan would like to have a moral world, because if it's a moral world, then they don't think there's anything wrong. There's no need for Christianity if we all think we're moral. There's no need for God if we all think we're moral. So that was Satan would be just as fine and just as happy. So as a father, I got to be on guard. I have to be especially watchful. And I have to challenge everything that would seek to get past my post into my family. That's my job. It's one of my responsibilities. And it doesn't end as a father. I think it's part of a responsibility as a grandfather as well, or a grandmother, is to be on guard and watchful. And if I can't be front and center and I can't be right there where it's happening, I can pray. I can always do that. I can pray. Now James 4 and verse 3, James 4 chapter 1, Hebrews and then James, there it is. He talks about, I'm going to skip the first verse. He says, well, I won't either. He says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? It says, you lust and you don't have. You murder, you covet, and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." So sometimes we ask. Sometimes we have a desire. Sometimes I think we like to pull out the one phrase and say, well, you don't have it because you don't ask it. And we like to skip the last part that says you ask and you don't get it because you got ulterior motives that really aren't what Christ would like. And sometimes I think we got to be careful that what are our motives? And as we talk today, as we go through examples today, I think it'll be safe to say that our motives are going to be pure if we consider what we talk about and what Scripture has to say about what we pray for. So where can we go? Let's start with one thing. Let's start with Psalms 27 and verse 4. Psalms 27 and verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple." Now I can, that ought to be a a hallmark, that ought to be a desire of my heart, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. God is not a God of judgment. Yes, he is. He's not a stern God. No. He's a God of love, and he's a God of grace. God would like me to be in his house. He would like me to be one that's looking for the beauty of who he is and who his son is. He would like me to make that part of my life. And I can pray that for myself. I can pray that for my wife. And I can pray that for my kids. And as we go through some of these verses today, as we talk about praying for our kids, I'm going to insert some names here and there throughout some of these verses. So you'll recognize some of them as your own kids' names. You'll recognize some of them as your own grandkids' names. You might recognize some of them as mine as well. So I've just kind of done that. Because that's how we personalize this, and that's how we make it real. And that's how we perhaps see the picture of it. Okay? So, you know, one thing have I desired for my son, Eric, is that he will seek the Lord, that Eric would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, that he'd behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in the Lord's temple. That's kind of, you start putting names to it. I want my daughter, Emma, to do the same thing. I want her to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of her life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Somebody asked me yesterday about this. He asked me what I was speaking on, and I told him, and he says, how do you do that? You know, what gets you started, or what how do you do that? And I said, well, he came up with the word consistency after what I told him, but it's like, I do it every day. I do it every day. And I said, well, it's maybe not, you know, heavenly or spiritual or whatever, but I do it every morning at breakfast. I name off the names of all of my kids, their spouses, and all, how many, 16 grandkids. All 16 grandkids. That's every morning I pray for my family. Consistency. That's where it counts. Because we can be hit and miss, and I think if we're hit and miss, our life is hit and miss. And perhaps that's how the Lord answers, is hit and miss. Not because he's not holy and not because he's not perfect, but if I ask in a hit and miss way, sometimes that's probably the way it's going to be answered. Ephesians 4:29, another verse. That's a dreadful verse, because that was the one that my kids had to memorize, and their father had to memorize, and their mother and his wife made him say it at the appropriate time. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, the NIV has got a better translation but it's different. I'm not even going to start because I forgot it. All right. But I used to always murder it anyway. But I can pray that for my kids and my grandkids and your kids. You know, that as they deal with people, with each other, you know, I pray that Julia, would no corrupt communication would come out of her mouth, but only what is profitable for edifying those who hear it. I can pray that for the rest of your kids. You can pray that for your kids as well. That no corrupt communication would come out of Nick's mouth, but only what is edifying for those who hear it. They tell me that Psalms 119 has got a lot of verses, and especially, I looked at it, it does. A lot of verses, especially the first 40. We'll get to some of them later. But I have some lists up here of verses that I've, you know, accumulated and gone through. And one of them, we start with, you know, I pray that they would know Christ as their Savior early in their life. Okay? Well, that's a godly request. I pray that And this comes from Psalm 63:1. We can think a lot of verses, find a lot of verses, or 2 Timothy 3:15. Pray that they would have a hatred for sin from Psalms 97 and 10. Put their name in there. I just pray that my grandson Nathan would have a hatred for sin, for know what's wrong. Janowitz used to pray that her kids would be caught when they're guilty, from Psalms 119:71. That when they do something wrong, when they are guilty, that they would be found out. And what that does is it prevents them from going through life figuring that, well, I got away with it once. Okay, I can maybe get away with it again. Nobody saw it. Pray that your kids would be found out when they're guilty. Pray that they would be protected from the evil one in every area of their life, spiritual, emotional, and physical. And that's one of the things that I do on a daily basis, that they would protect them from physical, spiritual, emotional harm and danger. Be the sentry that's looking for danger to ward it off and alert people. Pray that God would protect them from that evil one who is out to derail them in their Christian life. Pray for them. One of the things that used to happen in our house is when the kids were off at school, you homeschoolers would have to figure out a different, a little different avenue of approach. But Jan would go through the house during the day, and as she went to each bedroom, she would stop at the bedside and get out and kneel at the bedside and pray for the one who slept in that bed. Pray for their friends. Pray that they would desire the right kinds of friends and be protected from the wrong kinds of friends. It comes out of Proverbs 2. Pray for them one by one every day. Go from bed to bed. Go from room to room. Pray for the person that occupies that space and occupies that bed. Pray that they would respect those in authority over them, from Romans 13. Pray that they would, he said, pray the right kinds of friends. Pray for their mate. You do that? You pray for the mate that your children might have one day? Pray that your children would be protected from evil and they would bring a pure and holy body to the marriage ceremony, and that their mate would do the same. You pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that they would love to give. They would love to serve. Pray that they'd be a glad and a grateful and generous giver, not just a taker. Comes out of 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Pray that they would learn to love. Pray that they would learn to pray. They can pray for each other. They can pray for their friends. They can pray for you. They can pray for their mom. They can pray. Pray that they would learn to do that. Pray that they would readily seek forgiveness when they sin. Pray that they would be quick to forgive others. Pray for them. Got more. Mm-hmm. Pray that my daughter is confident of the various thing that you, God, who has begun a good work in her, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, from Philippians 1. I pray that my son would bless you, Lord, with all that is within him, that he will never forget your benefits. I pray that he will not forget who redeems his life from destruction and crowns him with loving kindness, tender mercies, and who satisfies his mouth with good things so that his youth is renewed like the eagle. Pray that for your sons and your daughters. Pray that my daughter, from Romans 6:12, would not let sin reign in her mortal body, that she would desire to obey it with its lusts. Psalm 37:4, I pray that my son would delight himself in the Lord, and that you, Lord, would give him the desires of his heart. I pray that they would hide God's word in their heart, that they might not sin against God. I got more. We'll be done soon. Romans 12 and 2. I prayed that my son, my daughter, would not be conformed to this world, but they would be transformed by the renewing of their mind, that they may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Matthew 6:33, I pray that my son or daughter would seek first his kingdom, and all these things would be added unto them. I pray that they would know the power from Philippians 3, the power of his resurrection, and know him and the power of his resurrection. Ephesians 3:17, pray that my daughter and my son may be rooted and grounded in love. Am I rooted and grounded in love? I could pray that myself. I need to be rooted and grounded in love too. And I pray that my children would be rooted and grounded in love. Pray that they would abound, that love, that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Pray that he may be able to discern what is best, and he may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. If we pray these things for our children, these are not things that I'm going to be praying that to consume upon my sinful desires or my fleshly desires. These are things that Scripture tells me to pray that for myself, pray that for others. And I can do that and know that God will hear and God will answer prayers. Now, sometimes we wonder, well, is there any rewards for this kind of thing? And I got to caution you here and myself too that I don't pray for this for any kind of rewards for myself. I pray it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you get something that your daughter writes, it says, "Dear Mom and Dad," her mother told her what I was going to speak on, "says, over the years it has meant a great deal to me that know that you are praying for me. And now you're praying for my children as well. It has confirmed to me that you are both interested and invested in my life. It has provided comfort and confidence at times to know that you are approaching the throne of God on my behalf, especially during some difficult situation. As a child, I remember consistent bedtime prayer and faithful supplication for wisdom and discernment. As a parent, I love that you are praying for my kids. It means a lot to my kids as well. When we talk to them," this thing printed out funny. "So when we talk to them, when you as parents, you talk to them, we know that my parents will be listening for the things to pray for and that you will pray. You are people we can call on for advice and for comfort. But more importantly, we can call and ask you to pray. I can't imagine how things would be if I didn't have your prayer support. There's no greater gift that you can give." Think about that. There's no greater gift that you and I can give our kids or our grandkids than for them to know that we are before the throne of God, interceding for them and beseeching God on their behalf. Father, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you this morning for this short time. And we can just look at your word. And we can get some insights. And we can get some help and some encouragement for the things that go on that we do in a daily basis sometimes. And the things that we should do on a daily basis. And Father, I just thank you that you are interested in us. You are interested in our families. You are interested in our children and our grandchildren. And Father, I pray that we would be faithful to you and to them in praying for them and their spiritual growth and their usefulness to you. And I would pray this morning that that the children and the grandchildren of everyone in this room would be men and women who love you, who honor you, who serve you, and whose desire is to live godly lives for you. Just thank you for your Son, our Savior, who gave Himself to make this all possible. Just thank you and praise you in His worthy and His precious name. Amen.